May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 918. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. They are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. 918.
Thank you.
us to read from his holy word. Firstly, Psalms 42 and 43, followed by the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4. Psalms 42 and 43. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The second book of Corinthians, chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most Holy Lord God, do grant to us now that true spirit of prayer. Help us to come to the throne of grace. Help us to come to the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Oh, help us to come to the footstool of thy mercy. Help us to come to the feet of Jesus. Oh, to find a little access, to know a little nearness. Oh, to feel that communion with thee, as we would by grace draw nigh unto God. Lord, draw nigh unto us. Grant us thy gracious help, for without thee we can do nothing. Oh, how dependent we are upon thee. Dear Lord, do come, and come this night. May Jesus himself draw near, and come with us. And may there be that same blessed, gracious effect. Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us in the way and opened to us the scriptures? Lord, walk with us in the way this night. Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Oh, Lord, may we constrain thee to enter in. And, oh, Lord, walk with us, as it were, through this service. And, oh, Lord, do be pleased to touch hearts, to bless souls. Lord, to remember each one in all their various concerns. May there be a portion for seven and also for eight. May none go home disappointed, feeling to have been forgotten and left out or passed over. Oh, Lord, I remember any in special needs, special cases. Oh, Lord, remember those with spiritual needs and remember those with providential needs. And might there be that fulfillment, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, open to us the sacred treasure of thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open the eyes of our understanding, that we may understand the scriptures. Lord, be pleased to speak to us through thy word. And oh, to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, to hear the voice of our Beloved, to hear the voice of love and mercy. Oh, to hear the voice speaking in our hearts. Oh, Lord, then, do speak. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest those who have come with this great exercise, all this great concern, that they may hear thy voice. For thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Lord, there may be some lambs here, there may be some sheep here. Oh, they're crying out. They may feel to be lost. They may feel to be far off. They may feel to be in great concern, perhaps very frightened. They need the Good Shepherd to come and find them. Oh, to seek and to search them out. Oh, to take them up in his arms and carry them upon his shoulders. Oh, they need the Good Shepherd to come and to take care of them eternally. Oh, Lord, remember those who are crying out for thee this night, who long to hear thy voice. Lord, if it be a word of chastening, a word of rebuke. Oh, Lord, if it be a word of correction. Oh, if it be a word of encouragement. Lord, a word of blessing, a word of favour. Oh, a word to come just where they are. Oh, Lord, a word in due season, how good it is. May there be that word in due season this night. Oh, but grant us each ears to hear and a wise and understanding heart to receive thy word. Hold up the precious treasure there and never with it part. Lord, there may be some here, yet dead in trespasses and in sins, as far from God as sheep can run, careless, indifferent, their eyes being blinded, their ears being deafened. Lord, could it please thee also to cause them to hear thy voice? Oh, Lord, who speak to them, to awaken them, to quicken them, to bring them out of nature's darkness, to bring them into want. Thy word, which is as a sharp two-edged sword, thy word as an arrow of conviction. Oh, thy word to ring that alarm in their hearts. Where must I go or whither flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? What must I do to be saved? Lord, cause that earthquake in their conscience, in their hearts. Oh, but Lord, do be pleased to awaken and cause the holy angels in heaven to rejoice this night. Oh, might there be that rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And Lord, may we be helped to open our mouths a little wider. They shall be filled, not one sinner, but may there be many, wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. O quicken the dead. And O Lord, who remember those seeking Jesus who long to find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? I sought him, but I found him not. O Lord, ever guide these seeking souls. Guide them into thy truth. Guide them into thy ways. Guide them. O guide them by thy counsel. Guide them unto a precious Jesus. And, O Lord, may they prove, seek, and ye shall find. O, we pray there might be some finders here. And, Lord, if there are any in a backslidden state and condition, any who have turned aside, any who have wandered, bring thy wandering sheep back. O Lord, do be pleased to use thy crook, thy staff, the sling and stone to awaken them to their dangers, mercifully bring them back. O Lord, do remember those who need comforting, those who need reassuring, Lord, those who need helping, those who need strengthening. Those who need the Lord to appear, the Lord to provide, the Lord to go before. Lord, remember each and every one from the youngest to the eldest. Bless the dear children. Lord, remember them each for good. Have mercy upon their never-dying souls. Hedge up their ways, all that they might be taught of God. Lord, remember the young people growing up into life, those at college, university, or in the workplace. Oh, we do pray that they may be kept. Keep them from the evils that abound of false religion, false teachers. Oh, Lord, keep them from lightness of religion. Oh, keep them from wandering from thee and thy ways. Oh, keep them, Lord, from the many subtleties of Satan, the pleasures of sin, all the ways of the world, its attractions, its allurements, its intoxicating pleasures. Lord, implant thy holy fear deep into their hearts. May they be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Again, remember all in the midst of life bearing the heat and burden of the day. Oh, grant all needed help, all needed strength, all needed wisdom. And remember those in their latter years, years of infirmity and weakness. Oh, Lord, draw near to them, and may it be well with each and every one. Bless his cause of truth. Be with them still. Work mightily in their midst. Oh, let thy work appear, the work of thy Spirit. Oh, Lord, pull down those strongholds of Satan and grant a godly increase here. Oh, Lord, may the church yet be called together to hear the testimony of one or another. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And, O Lord, bless the church with peace and unity and prosperity. And could it please thee, Lord, even to raise up an under-shepherd here, a pastor according to thine own heart, who shall feed them with knowledge and understanding. So, Lord, bless them here. We pray for those unable to come this night, who would be here if they could, those at home with little ones, those away at this time, any caught up in lawful employments, and any in sickness or affliction. Lord, remember them and go to them. Remember any who could have come but didn't want to come. Oh, may their hearts be touched. Lord, bless the ministry of thy word here. Help thy servant to minister from time to time. May they be sent of God and come with that word from the Lord. O Lord, many whom thou lovest are afflicted. And Lord, there are those in great affliction at this present time. We just feel led to pray for our friends who have a newborn babe seriously ill. We know not how it is at present. But O Lord, remember them at this most difficult time. O Lord, if it be thy holy will, pray the little babe may be spared and may be granted healing mercies. Remember the dear parents. Uphold them. Strengthen them. Be with them. Sanctify these things unto them. O Lord, do remember all in affliction, those in hospitals, those in care homes and the like. O Lord, those who suffer much infirmity, discomfort and pain. O Lord, remember all laid upon our hearts. O Lord, we find there is so much to pray for. O Lord, we think of Zion, we think of the churches, we think of our nation and the upcoming general election. O Lord, if it could please thee to raise up those who truly love and fear thy name. And O Lord, we pray for each society organization who seeks the welfare of thy people. Lord, the dark clouds are gathering thick and fast. But Lord, our eyes are upon thee. But do remember those, Lord, who seek to help where they can, inasmuch as unto the Lord. O Lord, do accept of our thanks for all thy many, many mercies, truly the supply of all our need. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise God from whom all blessings flow. And O Lord, grant us grace to acknowledge thy goodness and mercy. And now, Lord, what wait we for? O, do help us as we return to thy word. Be pleased to strengthen the minister's voice and help us through. But above all, glorify thy name. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, as we would ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1111. Jesus, thou alone canst save, thou canst raise the dead to life, thy reviving power I crave to decide this inward strife. 1111.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I will direct your prayerful attention to the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We have here set before us the infallible, inerrant, faithful, pure, true Word of Almighty God. Dear friends, what we have before us here in our text is the pathway of every child of God. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way, which leadeth unto death, and many are found therein. And that broad way encompasseth all manner of life, all manner of religions, all manner of everything but the truth as it is in Jesus. There is no place in that broad way for the truth of God. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, but may it be our eternal mercy to be numbered amongst those few. With them numbered, oh, may I be, now and in eternity. Dear friends, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. Oh, might there be found some striving souls here this night. Oh, striving by prayer and by supplication to enter into that way. Yes, it's a narrow way. And at times it is very, very narrow. And yes, there are those ditches on either side, presumption being one, unbelief being the other. And as we try to lean away from falling into one, we're in danger of falling into the other. Oh, how we need to be kept. Oh, a way which can only be walked by faith. A way where there are many troubles, many trials, many enemies, many foes. But a way which leads to heaven. Oh, dear friends, remember that. It's the narrow way which alone leadeth unto heaven. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not you may have, not you could have, not you might have, but ye shall. There's no avoiding it. It is a pathway appointed, the pathway ordained, that we shall have much tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. More than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. And again, as the apostle, and oh, how he proved it so much, that we must needs, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it is a way, yes, of much tribulation, so many troubles, so many distresses. But let us ever remember this. Oh, it is a way which leadeth unto life, eternal life. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Let me be very clear, dear friends, if we do not go to heaven, we shall go to hell. Or there is no other. There is no third way. There's no alternative. It is either heaven or hell. Oh, would we be prepared for heaven? Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Just in the vestry before the service, I felt led to just look at this hymn. It speaks of a Christian's pathway. How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. The hope of his happiness rises from fear, and his life he receives from the dead. His fairest pretensions must wholly be waived, and his best resolutions be crossed. Nor can he expect to be perfectly saved till he finds himself utterly lost. When all this is done, and his heart is assured of the total remission of sins, when his pardon is signed and his peace is procured, from that moment, his conflict begins. We have, you might say, four parts to our text, one set against another, but I'm given to understand that this text could be spoken of, if you will, as a whole. We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed, persecuted, cast down, yet not distressed, not in despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed. A pathway where a child of God must follow Christ. And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Oh, consider him. In all his troubles, in all his sorrows, in all his griefs, in all his agonies, where he bore the sins of his dear people, whose pathway was much darker and rougher than mine. Did Christ the Lord suffer, and shall I repine? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I remember some time ago looking at this word, and I felt so troubled, because, yes, I felt to be troubled on every side, but I also felt to be distressed because of my troubles. And I couldn't understand it. I felt a word went over me. I couldn't enter in. Troubled on every side, yes, yet not distressed. I felt to be outside of this word, and perhaps as one or another here. Also, who feels to be outside of this word, you feel troubled on every side, and yet you feel to be so distressed. Well, the word doesn't quite mean it in that way in which we may tend to think of it. Yet not distressed, or not so troubled that there is no hope, not so troubled that we may not be brought out. Now think of this. Oh, how many of us here have proved this? And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now, what a wonderful promise. Dear friend, have you proved it? Would you prove it? Oh, in your trouble, and call upon me. Oh, the living God, the faithful God, the good God, the kind God, oh, whose compassions fail not, the God who is gracious, the good Samaritan, the shepherd of his sheep, call upon me. In the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. Now there's a certainty. It's definite. Again, no ifs and buts. I will deliver thee in my time and my way. And thou shalt glorify me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Now, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed if we have one to go to. Not distressed because there is a throne of grace. Oh, not distressed because we may call upon him. Oh, not so distressed, if you will, but there is no way out. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. By way of illustration, as I was meditating upon these opening words, my mind went back to when I first began working, and part of the work, there were various courses we had to attend, residential weeks away, and one of it was concerning activities, team building. And of those various things we had to do, there was potholing one evening. And I still remember we had to go down this rope ladder into a cave. And the instructor said, anyone who's claustrophobic, anyone who's very panicky or fearful, you better stay here. There is a route to go round. Some parts are very narrow, some parts are very low. Well, can I humbly say I felt confident enough that I should be all right? Of course, we had the helmets on with the light. And really, it was following the person in front of you. There was an instructor at the front and an instructor at the back. And we were reassured all would be safe. And yes, some parts we walked, some parts were quite narrow. Some parts we had to crawl through. But then I think it was toward the end, when the crawling was almost reduced to laying literally flat. And I do remember starting to feel a bit panicky, being flat on the ground and the rocks literally just above my head, with hardly any room at all, crawling along. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, inasmuch as that way of escape, that we had to continue. We had to trust, if you will, naturally speaking, the words of the instructor. So in continuing, and I don't think it was that long, but soon enough we were back into that first cave, and all was well. But then, thinking of those rocks around, we are troubled on every side, but still to pursue, still to continue, still to press on, not without hope, yet not distressed. Troubled on every side. There are two ways a child of God is principally troubled. There is soul trouble, and there is providential trouble. And there is no trouble as great as soul trouble. You see, providential troubles are but for a time. That time may be a long time, maybe a very long time. But it's a limited time, limited to the time of our lives, really. But then soul trouble loses sight of time and sees eternity. And oh, that thought to be lost for eternity. Eternally lost in hell, where neither hope nor mercy can ever come. I remember a saying Mr. Stayhower used when I was there last year. What a mercy it is to be made to feel wretched. What a mercy it is to be brought into concern over your never-dying souls. Oh, what a mercy it is to be brought into soul trouble. Oh, that thou wilt wise, that thou wilt consider these things even thy latter end, the day of thy death. Remember, it is appointed unto men once to die. And then the judgment, then that great day of separation, the sheep and the goats, the righteous and the wicked, heaven or hell. And how will it be with you? How will it be with me? Oh, remember, there is that day appointed for our death. The old shall die, the young may die. And you think of all of those passengers on that plane, never did they think that would be the day of their death. And how suddenly they were taken into eternity. And I'm sure there have been others well, so unexpectedly taken by the hand of death. Or that the Lord might lay these things into our hearts and to bring us into great concern over our never-dying souls. Am I made a real Christian? Is my religion real? Where is our hope? Where is our trust? Is it in Christ? Would we be found sheltering under his blood, believing in him, hoping in him? Oh, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Do we have some spiritual prisoners here tonight? Do you long for that liberty? Do you long for that freedom? Or do you long for Christ to come and to bring your soul out of prison, that you may praise his name and rejoice in God's mercy? We are troubled on every side. Oh, there may be so many thoughts so troubling you. Oh, it may be your trouble that you're not a child of God, you're not one of the sheep, you're not one of the redeemed. Oh, you may be troubled because of your sins and the guilt of your sins, the immensity of your sins. You may be troubled because perhaps you do not feel that depth of conviction that you would of your sins. Or you may be troubled because you feel to be outside of a secret. Oh, you may be troubled by the hardness of your heart and that besetting sin of unbelief. Oh, you may be troubled feeling there cannot be any hope for you, there cannot be any mercy for you. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, how many have been troubled by that word boldly. And what is meant by boldly? Well, it's not that proud, presumptuous boldness that many may think of it, but I often think of that spoken concerning Queen Esther, when she was brought into great straits with all the Jews because of that wicked Haman, and that which had been forced of a king to destroy all the Jews, and how Mordecai, her uncle, so spake unto her, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" That is really that she must go unto the king and plead for mercy. Oh, plead that the king might be pleased to spare the Jewish people. And she bade reply unto Mordecai, "I go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish, but I am resolved to try, to come boldly, humbly, soberly, reverently." And so it was, she ventured unto the king, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. You see, so Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." All for grace to come boldly unto the throne of grace, to venture unto the King of Kings. Oh, I can but perish if I try. And these souls brought to see their need of God's mercy, brought to see their need of God's Christ, would venture to him. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, for who can tell? Who can tell that God might be merciful to me? Who can tell that God might be gracious unto me? Although my soul is in so much trouble on account of my guilt and sins and failings and shortcomings, yet still will I venture with that prayer, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Well, much more might be said concerning soul trouble, but then, of course, we also have providential troubles. For man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We do not need to go looking for trouble. Trouble will come. Or we do not need to pray for trouble, for trouble surely will come into our lives. And at times, well, we feel to be troubled on every side. Or whichever way we look, there seems to be trouble. Perhaps trouble in our families, trouble in the church of God, trouble in our businesses. Children may have trouble at schools. Or there may be troubles in our health, troubles in our pathway, troubles in our situation, troubles in our circumstances. Or we may feel to be so troubled, overwhelmed by trouble. We are troubled on every side. Oh, how many of the Lord's dear people have found to be here? You think of dear Jacob, especially at that time when there was that mighty famine. He'd already lost Joseph. He sends his sons apart from Benjamin down into Egypt, who return sometime later without Simeon. And they made mention of that hard man they had to deal with, who kept Simeon back and is now demanding Benjamin also to go down. Oh, poor Jacob, troubled on every side. Or whichever way he looked, there seemed to be no way out. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and will he take Benjamin also? All these things are against me. All troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Because he was a man of prayer. And I'm sure he cried unto the Lord, as he did at Peniel, as he did at Bethel, as he did at other times. Oh, like the dear psalmist, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And Jacob proved that to be so true. Where he thought all things were against him, all things actually were for him. And neither can we fail to mention the children of Israel. And sometimes our troubles are not self-inflicted. Sadly, often they are. We bring these things upon ourselves. We wander from the Lord. We rebel against him. We murmur and complain. We do not listen to his counsel. And we bring these things upon ourselves, but not always. The children of Israel, when they came up out of Egypt, came up harnessed. So the Lord led them, the Lord brought them, the Lord guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And he brought them down to that bay by the Red Sea. And there they had the Red Sea before them, vast expanse of water. They had the mountains on either side. And then they find they have Pharaoh and the Egyptian army with chariots of iron pursuing them behind. We are troubled on every side. There didn't seem any way out, any way of escape. They couldn't see however they could escape. Now they felt to be perfectly trapped. We are troubled on every side, whichever way we look, whatever way we look, there is trouble. Yet not distressed, because God was in control. Not distressed, because the Lord would appear. Oh, not distressed, because the Lord would make a way of escape. They could not see that way of escape. They feared there would not be a way of escape. Oh, they cried out, and they cried out unto God, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Then the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But where? But stretch thy rod out upon the sea, and the waters divided, and made a way for them. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, for the Lord will appear. It's a wonderful thing to look back upon past deliverances, upon past Ebenezer stones of help, of times when the Lord has so wonderfully appeared. Oh, to look back, to consider, to remember, and then to yet trust in him. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I don't know, perhaps there's one here tonight, and well, you do feel to be troubled on every side. There doesn't seem any way out, any way through. Or you come to your wit's end. All your reasoning, all your wisdom is swallowed up. You feel to be at the absolute end now. Yet not distressed. You haven't given up praying yet, have you? You haven't given up hoping that the Lord may yet appear. Oh, you haven't yet given up on that hope, yet command deliverances unto Jacob. The Lord will yet make a way. The Lord will bring you safely through. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure. He'll help me quite through. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Again, sometimes we feel to be so perplexed, so confused, so bewildered, we feel to be in utter despair. But not in despair? Well, what does it say in the margin, in the reference? Not altogether without help or means. Does that not shed a new light upon it? We are perplexed because man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Well, I feel the answer to that question is very simple: by faith. I think often we forget that the child of God is to walk by faith and not by sight. By faith, looking unto Jesus. You might say the children of Israel were perplexed. Why cannot we go by the northern route unto the promised land? It's a lot shorter. It's a lot easier. Why can we not go that? Why do we have to come down by the Red Sea? We are perplexed. They needed that grace of submission to the Lord's holy will. For what the Lord would see good for them, to bring them through, to show forth yet his almighty power, his great goodness, and the wonders God alone can do. We are perplexed. There may be one or another here this evening in a perplexing pathway. Perhaps in the past week you've had a great disappointment, something you'd really hoped for, a door perhaps you really thought would open, something would surely open up for you, has not. Perhaps you feel to be perplexed. I cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. Oh, you feel to be perplexed because your faith is so sorely tried. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Not altogether without help or means, but not in utter, complete, total despair. Remember, it's often been said that our disappointments are God's appointments. And perhaps it is God providing some better thing for you. Who can tell? Remember, God is good. Remember, God is faithful. Remember, God is kind. God is merciful. God is gracious. Though you may feel to be so perplexed, perhaps you cannot understand why the Lord has permitted these things, why the Lord has allowed these things to happen. Perhaps you feel to be so perplexed because so many things seem to be going wrong. Perhaps you're making so many mistakes. You feel to be making so many mistakes and things seem to be going ill with you. We are perplexed. Ah, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. Now you think of Joseph in the prison. I'm sure he was perplexed. Why hadn't the Lord appeared for him? Why hadn't the Lord delivered him? Oh, why hadn't the Lord brought him forth? Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler unto all them that trust in him. Do not we read that the Lord was with Joseph? Though everything seemed to be going wrong, though he seemed to be getting lower and lower and lower, things seemed to be getting darker and darker and darker. He just could not understand why he had to suffer all these hardships, all these distresses, all these difficulties. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, it may be that you do not have a specific promise like Joseph did. The word of the Lord, of course, were those dreams. And I'm sure at times he almost cast away those dreams as the imaginations of his own heart, just natural dreams that he had. But I'm sure as the Lord sent in the butler and baker and they had their dreams and Joseph was unable to interpret those dreams, although he couldn't interpret his own dreams, I'm sure that flame of faith was kindled a little. Who can tell? Oh, that dream. Could it be possible? How could it be possible to leave everything in God's hands? Now, what a lesson for us there is in John's Gospel concerning the feeding of the 5,000. And you think of that vast number of people. Sometimes I wonder if we too quickly glance over these facts. 5,000 people. Far, far, far more than is found in this chapel tonight. And Christ says unto the disciples, unto Philip, from whence shall we buy bread that all these may eat? Well, Philip and the disciples were perplexed. From whence shall we buy bread that each one may have a little? 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for all to have. They were perplexed by the words of Jesus, where they should find provision, where it could be found from. And yet, but not in despair, there is a lad here with 2 barley loaves and 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are these among so many? In and of themselves, they are nothing. Completely inadequate, completely insufficient. Those few loaves and 2 fishes would never suffice such a vast congregation. But then put them into the hands of Jesus, but not in despair. And the things which are perplexing you, dear friends, by faith, by prayer, put them into the hands of Jesus. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be removed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And you see, put them into the hands of Jesus and behold those miracles. Again, behold the wonders God alone can do. Oh, behold, like Manoah and his wife, while the angel did wondrously, and that the Lord does yet appear for his people. Often when they feel to be perplexed, often when they feel to be confused, often when they feel to be at wit's end, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of all their distresses. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Now, persecution, yes, at present, mercifully, we do not suffer, both as our forefathers did, and also in other parts of the earth, where Christians are suffering dreadful, horrible, evil persecutions. They cannot meet together as we do this night, but in fear of their lives, in fear of the authorities coming in and beating and imprisoning. And yet, we do suffer persecution. We suffer persecution from Satan, the arch enemy of God and all his people, who has such a perfect hatred against God and all the Lord's dear people, who at times will appear as an angel of light to deceive them. And perhaps in our current day and generation, it is more as an angel of light to deceive. And I do find this especially perhaps with our young people growing up, and how Satan would use all manner of means to entice them away, either into lighter religion or no religion. They will be so tempted. They will have various things set before them by peer pressure and the ways of the world. But really, I'm thinking more of how Satan attacks a child of God, putting thoughts into the mind, so many accusations, so many threatenings, and yet it's also using powerful temptations to tempt us into sin, and from the tempter to then become the accuser, and to accuse us of our sins, and also persecuted by the world. And in various ways this is coming more and more. We mentioned earlier at tea time about the bakery and bakers in Northern Ireland, and really they're being persecuted by those vicious sodomites who really are seeking to destroy them, to destroy their business, to destroy their welfare in so doing, so causing the laws of our land to change in favour of their evil ways and against the ways of the Lord's dear people. And also there may be that persecution. Perhaps in the workplace it is becoming more common to be expected to work on a Lord's Day. Perhaps some are persecuted by those around them because of their Christian faith. Maybe persecuted in various ways which hurt, which upset, which distress. There are many, many ways in which we are persecuted to a greater or lesser extent, but not forsaken. But not forsaken of God. Oh, what a wonderful fact, what a wonderful truth. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Persecuted, oh, it may be, it must be, but not forsaken. Not forsaken of God. The Lord will never forsake his people. Though at times, as we had read in Psalm 42, they feel to be forsaken, or they feel to be forgotten. They feel the Lord is at a distance. They cannot understand why the Lord has permitted these persecutors and the persecutions. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? But our God is in the heavens, and he is sovereign, and he is in control. And the Lord knows exactly what you are passing through. The Lord knows all about your various persecutions, your difficulties, but not forsaken. Ah, not forsaken of God. When Christ constrained his disciples into that ship to go over the other side before them while he sent away the multitudes, and there they were toiling and rowing because the wind was contrary. They were labouring hard. Perhaps we wouldn't use the word persecuted, but things were against them. And remember, it was dark, it was hard going. Were they forsaken? Well, Christ was not with them, no, not in body, but he was with them in spirit. And as he was with them in spirit, remember this, he was praying for them. Oh, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And it is as Christ is found praying for us, that our faith,
though it may be sorely tried, or though it may feel to be so weak and so faint, shall not fail, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Well, we had thought to linger upon this point, but time has almost gone. I wonder how many here tonight are cast down by the hardness of the way. Oh, cast down by your infirmities, cast down by your troubles, cast down by your sorrows, cast down by your shortcomings, oh, cast down by the darkness, cast down by the roughness of the way, cast down by your enemies, cast down by that besetting sin of unbelief. Oh, so many, many things to cast us down. Cast down because of the state of Zion, the state of the churches. Cast down perhaps because of the lack of success, if you will, in our prayers. Oh, cast down because thou hidest thy face and they are troubled. Cast down because the Lord hasn't appeared, the Lord hasn't provided. In so many, many, many ways are we found cast down. Cast down. I read recently, I stand to be corrected, but as far as I can remember in this book, that when a sheep is upside down, it used to be said that it is cast in a cast position from which it can do nothing. It cannot roll over and stand up again. It can barely even bleat or cry. Or it is in a most dangerous position and situation because the wild beasts and the wolves or foxes may come and attack it. And when a child of God is cast down, or they feel to be so vulnerable and so distressed and so anxious, cast down in spirit, cast down in soul, can ever God dwell here, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. How can this be? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Now, is that a question for you? That you are cast down, that you are disquieted? Or is it a great question? Is it a pressing question? Well, what is the answer? Very simple. Hope thou in God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Hope thou in God. Hope in God's mercy. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them who hope in his mercy. Oh, yet hope that the Lord would appear. Oh, yet hope against hope that the Lord will perform. Oh, do hope yet that the Lord in his great compassion will yet look upon you to see you cast down. Oh, to see you in your great trouble, in your great trial, but not destroyed. And all the time that we are found with that grace of hope, but who can tell? Hope thou in God. Now, Satan, the world, and you, old man of sin, will ever seek to drive you from such a place of hoping in God. But may the Lord keep you there. Oh, may the Lord keep you hoping in him, trusting in him, looking to him. Though you feel to be cast down, but not destroyed. Or not utterly destroyed. Your hope, yet not destroyed. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Well, here is the Christian's pathway. It's not an easy way, is it? But Christ never had an easy way. Oh, yes, it is a way. There's many enemies, many foes, many troubles, many trials, many distresses. Oh, many things hard to understand. Many things we feel to be overwhelmed by. Many things where we feel that we are sinking. Like Jeremiah in the pit as he sunk in the mire. And yet even there as he sunk, thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not, and the Lord delivered him. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. I just want to say this. Dear Mr. Barclay to Salville, when he was baptised by his his father-in-law, Mr. Herbert Dawson, by the pool, said to him, young man, you have nothing but a life of trouble in front of you, but heaven at the end. He proved the first to be true. And now and forever, he will prove the latter to be true. Oh, it may be a life of trouble for you and me, but may it be heaven at the end. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £705, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman, and Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day and also administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 332. Now let the feeble all be strong, and make Jehovah's arm their song. His shield is spread o'er every saint, and thus supported, who shall faint? 332.
Thank you.
now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.